Kevin. Kevin. You're just ridiculously stupid.
Welcome back. Is this Kevin? Welcome back.
Yeah, man, how you doing? You good?
I know you like that.
Jeez.
I know you like that, Zah! It's Kevin. Me, right now, solo for the next, I don't know, half hour, because the Rocket...
He's on.
Is the Rocket's on?
The Rocket's on, yep.
Oh, the Rocket's on! Hey, Jared,
you want to talk
a little baseball?
Let's talk a little baseball, Kevin.
I didn't think you were going to be ready. I thought I was going to be all alone, just celebrate. I might have just started whipping it out, to be honest, if I was all by myself on this radio show. Jared, let me explain something and to all the folks listening.
Talk dirty to me.
I have been waiting my whole life. My whole life has been about one thing, and that's winning the World Series. And obviously, there's still a long way to go for that. But my whole life has basically been ruined by the fact that I live in New York. I am a Mets fan. I am a fan of the baseball team in New York who operates like a small market team. It's ruined my life that I've been a small market team in a big market. And all I've ever wanted was to behave like a New York baseball team should behave. And that moment finally happened today. There's been a couple moments throughout my history. You know, they went and got Beltran for big money that one time, sure. In that 06 era, they made moves. They went and got Delgado in a trade, and they brought Pedro in, and they built what they should. And that was the one little blip on the radar. 98, I believe it was, when they went and got Piazza. That, you know, they've had their singular instances where they did what they should have always done. But with the Steve Cohen arrival, it's like it signaled that, hey, this might become the norm. This guy might be the type who does this shit all the time. And within his first offseason, he fucking did it. He went and he got the one guy. We've talked about Arenado would be amazing, sure. And hey, maybe we still go get him too. Who knows? We've talked about Springer and Bauer. And hey, maybe we still go get those guys too. But the one guy I wanted was Francisco Lindor. The one guy who, a small market team, God bless the Indians fans. I feel so bad for them right now. But the one guy who was like, hey, this is a small market team that can't afford the big gun. So a big market team is going to have to take them off your hands. And for the first time ever in my life, it's my team. So long way to go to taking these pieces, turning it into a real team to become a contender and eventually win and get to the final goal. But as far as beggars can't be choosers, and as far as first steps, and as far as being happy with what I got right now, this is all I've ever wanted. I've just wanted to be in the conversation. I've just wanted to sit at the parents' table. I don't want to be at the kids' table anymore. I just wanted to be in on these deals and these guys and be a New York team. Mm-hmm. And today it happened in a major fucking way. The one. And you know what's crazy, Jared? I'll tell you
what's
this
crazy,
much.
Kevin. Yep.
I'm not, like, surprised. I was surprised because at, like, 1 o'clock they tweeted, hey, there's some rumors that this is heating up. Like, 1:06, it was a done deal.
Done.
But as far as this offseason, I logically took a step back. I said, like I just described, there's a small market team who has to give up on a crown jewel type player. There's a new owner in town in New York who wants to make a name for himself, has a 3-year timeline to win a World Series, needs a shortstop and a big bat. I think it's going to happen. Like, I truly, even being the mush, even being the pessimistic fan, even being a Mets fan who was like, good things don't happen to us. Logically speaking, I was like, I think this is going to happen. And it fucking did. That's crazy for me.
So, Kevin, I'm very happy for you.
Fuck you. We're going to calls. I can already tell in your voice that you're going to try to rain on this parade.
No, I'm not. But, you still have to pay him.
Yeah, who cares? And by the way, we also just bolstered our rotation a little bit too in one of the greatest deals ever. Oh, and also, by the way, we didn't give up anything. Rosario sucks. Rosario, I'm so on top of being happy about Lindor, the weight off my shoulders of pretending like Ahmed Rosario was finally just going to become the number one prospect that he once was. I don't have to worry about that anymore. And gimme Jimmy Jimenez was a nice player, but like for the caliber of player we're talking about in return, I don't give a shit. And the fact that it also came with a pitcher who can be like a three or four, like a back end guy, is also what we needed.
Yeah.
And Jared, I'm just hoping for you. You're worried about the money?
No. I'm not worried about the money.
Bro, he'll extend him by 3 o'clock.
Well, they better. I'm not saying that the Mets cannot afford to pay what Francisco Lindor wants. I'm just saying that you just traded for 1 year of Francisco Lindor. Like, he's not your franchise shortstop right now.
If he was a one-year player, I would still be okay with that deal. That's how bad
that's fine. That's fine. I think that there's still a chance that extend him. What do you mean? There's not a chance that they extend him?
Yeah, there's a 100% chance. Yeah.
Oh, Kevin, please. I know that you're excited, but don't do this to yourself.
There is a 100% chance the Mets retain Francisco Lindor. There is not a single person. There's no way Steve Cohen gets outbid by somebody. I mean, yeah, I guess I'll leave it at a 1% chance in case Francisco Lindor, like, hates New York or something. But there's no way that the Mets will be at fault for Francisco Lindor not sticking around. You don't make this deal unless you have absolute set plans to have him be your future franchise shortstop.
I don't want you to do this to yourself. I don't.
There's a 100% chance.
Kevin.
One hundo.
Kevin, you've been doing this for over 3 decades.
Hundo.
Don't.
I have not been doing this. I have not been doing this. I have been doing this with bum ass loser owners.
I know,
with
but you've
Steve
been a
Cohen
Mets
at
fan
my back
for over 3 decades. I need you to proceed with caution.
100. Put this on Twitter. Clip this. Put it on Twitter and at Steve Cohen so he knows this is how much faith I have in him. And if you are a fucking loser Mets fan who already got impatient and was already chirping at my boy Uncle Stevie and was already losing faith and already had a problem with the way he was operating, which, by the way, he was making moves in an offseason where nobody's doing anything, where the entire league is moving at a glacial pace. He got you a catcher. He signed Stroman. And now, with fucking time to spare, he went and got Francisco Lindor, gave up nothing really that might even preclude him from making another trade, and is still very much in on George Springer. You're going to turn around and look and be like, oh, wait a minute. I was clowning. I was talking shit about this guy who went and shored up the entire middle of my fucking field and did it in like the most efficient way possible. If you jumped off the Steve Cohen bandwagon already, you don't deserve to be a Mets fan anymore.
So let me just interject really quick here. I don't think that you should be sucking Stevie Cohen's dick just yet, because trading for Francisco Lindor is an executive move. It's not a backup the money. If you extend Francisco Lindor, then you can praise Steve
Jared,
Cohen. Steve
Jared,
Cohen has nothing to
Jared,
do with trading for Francisco
Jared,
Lindor.
First of all, he put this fucking front office in place. Second of all, the fact that you are even talking like he's not going to give the money is insane.
I'm not saying that the Mets won't have the best offer, but like, who knows if Francisco Lindor is going to want to be. I mean, I'm just trying to make it so that you don't get too far out ahead of yourself.
You're crazy. Let's get all the way ahead of ourselves, Mets fans. Let's go to Dan in New Jersey. What's up, Dan?
What is up, dogs?
You.
All right, let's go.
Wait, real quickly. Just because I need to say this real quick, because the universe of a New York Mets, Jets, Knicks fan always needs to balance out somewhat. The Jets just interviewed Marvin Lewis to be their head coach, and it's just like, when one good thing happens, something horrible needs to happen. Marvin fucking Lewis is your head coach. What a joke. Who cares? It's all about the Mets. Back to Dan. What do you got on Lindor, Danny?
Well, I mean, I'm the Gypsy, so don't hang up on me yet. I'm still a Giants fan. Anyway, let's go. I mean, to all the guys that were chirping Steve Cohen on Twitter, dude, I want to tell you guys
losers
are big fans, and that you need to look out for what he's going to do in this future, all right? And to all the guys that I go to friggin' small-ass college with in South Central Pennsylvania, we're coming for that ass, boy.
Yeah, man. This is the time. Like I said, we got a long way to go to get to fucking, you know, ticker tape parades, but this is what we've wanted for so long. So soak it in and enjoy it, because it's also pretty much as sure of a thing as you can get. The last time I remember saying that was about Roberto Alomar, who ended up completely fucking sucking. But Francisco Lindor is as much of a lock for the performance like that you can count on as it gets. So You know, I see the Yankee fans out there having a meltdown, Jared. It's amazing. And I'm going to dance on their graves a little bit because you know what? As far as right now, we're winning the offseason. We have to win the season and the postseason to really ever get to the pinnacle so that you can really talk shit. But in this town, the offseason has always been almost as much as a season as the real regular season. It's been as important as anything. And we've always been the big losers of the offseason. And right now, with the wins, the tides are changing, the vibe is changing, and we're on top of it. Soak that in and enjoy it, and find the nearest Yankees fan like Taylor in Long Island and tell him to go fuck himself, because you are now little brother. You are now the bum-ass broke boy Yankees who ain't doing shit while the big boys across town in Queens make a splash.
Kevin, I was calling to congratulate you.
You better be.
Hey, I'm a realistic Yankee fan. I'm not a Tommy or a Mush who is just kind of, you know, putting themselves in
You know they stink. You know that they stink. You know that they're a good team
who can't get over the hump.
Who is not constructed in a way to get over the hump and won't be anytime soon. You're realistic. I know you know that. You know that.
Brian Cashman, all I'm saying, Brian Cashman needs to wake up. What I'm calling in, though, is that I want to say congratulations because you, as a Mets fan, I think you can now legit push the Jets aside and never root for them again.
Yes.
And I think you need to just be full-time Mets.
Yep.
And with Lindor, I think, Jared, as much as I agree with you a lot of the times, I think you're wrong. I think the next step, which will be, if it's not today, it's going to be tomorrow. Or if it's not tomorrow, it's the next day. It's going to be by this week. They're going to sign him long-term.
I'm not saying that it won't happen. I'm just saying pump the brakes because as of right now, you've only traded for 1 year of Francisco Lindor.
True.
Until it happens.
100% chance. You know what, Jared? We the sun has not come up tomorrow. Right now, like it might not. We can't say that the sun will come up tomorrow. Sun's coming up tomorrow, and Francisco Lindor is getting signed. Facts.
Yeah. And I would say it has to happen soon. It's going to happen before the season starts, no matter what. Because, I mean, Jared, you know, next year's shortstop free agent class is the best of all time with Story, Baez, Lindor, Correa, and Seager. It's stacked, so it's all about.
One's going to be off the market. Let me tell you what.
I mean, trust me, I'd rather have Trevor Story. He's coming to Boston.
And if anything, I feel like having that many other candidates. I don't even know if this contract is going to be that fucking crazy. I mean, it's going to be, obviously, he's going to get paid.
Oh, it's going to be ridiculous.
It's going to be good, but because there are that many more options available at the same exact time, it's not like, you know, you have, if you're desperate for a shortstop, it has to be Lindor. I just, my heart goes out to the Indians fans because as a fellow loser team for so long with the shitty front office, this is deplorable. This is reprehensible. This is indefensible. This is a type of move that's just like why I believe Jay Hay said I'll just be done being a Indians fan after this. You can't logically put your heart and soul into a team that you know is going to behave like this. So my heart goes out because
not one of those Indians fans that's just saying that. Like he means
he'll
it,
do
like,
it. Yeah, he'll be gone.
He'll be more than Indians. Happy to be an actual MLB fan than an
just
Indians
be a fan of the league and a fan of talent and a fan of good, well-run teams because. You know, they said, what was the famous quote? The day that we give out a $300 million deal will be the day that someone else is giving out billion-dollar deals.
Correct.
It'll be 300, you know, but I just don't think we kind of saw this with Mookie. What was Mookie's deal? Wasn't it a little bit less than we thought? It wasn't as astronomical. I feel like Red Sox.
He got 365.
And Red Sox, the Red Sox front office thought it was going to be 450. You're crazy. It's going to be a big number. I'm not saying we're going to get him on the cheap. Right. And then he ends up with 360, which is still a crazy number. And Lindor will probably be in those threes, right? But I'm just saying, I don't think it'll end up being a number where it's the Indians were it was $500 million. We never had a shot. It's you should be in on this guy for the type of number I think he's going to end up at. And the fact that it's going to be the New York Mets instead is just, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I said this, the best part, Jared and Taylor, of being, of the Steve Cohen era, it will be the dynasty. The fact that we will win multiple championships, being World Series champions multiple times over the next decade, that will be the best part. The second best part, the icing on the cake, we'll be watching you Yankee fans have a meltdown. And even look, just one little tweet before it was even a done deal, just the tweet of "it's close" had Tommy Smokes crying in his fucking lunch and had Marty Mush, like, his brain short-circuited. He didn't know what to say. The fact that the Mets, and they can play all they want. You can play this, like, the lion doesn't concern itself with sheep sort of talk. Like, I don't give a shit about the Mets. It's so funny that Mets fans care about the Yankees when Yankee fans don't care about the Mets. You can play that card all you want. Soon enough, it will be unavoidable. You won't be able to say that because the Mets will just be contenders and will be in your face. But I know right now, even if you don't admit it, somewhere inside you, you're like, oh, fuck, Steve Cohen is coming. Lindor is here. The tides have changed. It's not the little brother anymore. It's happening. You can't stop it. And you know, and it's happening fast. And you know it.
Very fast.
And you can lie to yourself if you want. You can lie to yourself if you want.
Oh, I'm not.
But you know it. Yeah, you know it. And I think a lot of Yankee fans know it. Whether or not they're admitting it, it depends on what kind of fan you are. But it's here. It's happening. And Steve Cohen.
I would say that the Cleveland Indian fans, like you said, it's been a rough day. But the last 18 months, they've traded away Lindor, Carrasco, Clevinger, Kluber, and Bauer.
Yikes.
So those guys were on the World Series team. Like, it's just that was their shot, and now they're trading all these people away. And I think this is the legit fleece of the century. I know Jimenez is going to be a good guy. Rosario is washed. They have the Wolf kid and the
those are names that you're perfectly okay giving up. You know,
Mets fans should never cry about fucking prospects ever again. I remember I called in recently, talked about the prospect thing. You know, Mets fans want to develop a farm system. It was when the Arenado rumors were coming out. But the fact of the matter is that you have a guy who. This was the number one priority. Become the Mets owner and then spend every dollar he has to.
He hasn't even spent the dollar yet. He hasn't even spent the real money yet. That's the best part. Well, yeah, no, I know. But my point is that we haven't even used. This is like in The Princess Bride when he's like, I am left-handed. Like, we haven't even spent our money yet. When Steve Cohen gets cooking with the wallet, then watch the fuck out. Because I think I'm going to get to the rest of these calls here because the lines are banged out, Taylor. Thanks for the call, though. I feel like the next move, Jared. One, like, you follow this up, it's a little 1-2 punch where you drop your dick on the table now and you just get the Springer deal done, and you already, before you even play a game, you're a god to Mets fans.
Yes. I mean, I'm excited for you because it's not over. It's definitely not
over.
It's just begun. Your offseason isn't even over. Like, right. There's no way that the Mets are done. Like, I think I've shifted my prediction to Bauer going to the Mets now. And it's not even just because of the tweet that he sent out. It's not even because of that.
The eye emojis is interesting. Now, let me just say this. You don't get to just do that.
No, he does. I mean, he's been trolling all fucking offseason.
No, you don't get to do this.
Jared.
Because you were like, it's not happening because I talked to Trevor and I know.
I didn't fucking say that.
You absolutely did.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't.
Yes,
There's one team. There's one team that I am 99.9% sure that he will not sign with. That team is not the Mets.
Well, when we had this conversation, you heavy alluded to being like, he doesn't want to be here. He knows the team he wants to go to, and it's not the Mets. Because I have run around telling people, like, I would have thought that Trevor Bauer was a good fit. And it would have made all the sense in the world. But, like, I know a guy who's pretty close with him who seems to have conversations where it seems like it is not a thing that's possibly happening.
He's never indicated, like, slam dunk, this is where I'm going. I'm just going to string everyone along. Like, at this very moment, I don't think he 100% knows where he would like to go.
Maybe I misread or read into too much what you were saying. I really put that out of my mind and didn't let myself get my hopes up. If that's now back on the table, if now Jared Bauer is back as a real fucking choice,
so
now we get real cocky. Now we get real cocky, Jared!
Yeah, here's what I said that you probably just took too much to heart. I said, here are the boxes that you need to check. I probably said, one of the things I said was, spring training in Arizona over Florida. And the Mets are in Port St. Lucie, which is in Florida. So I was like, that's not a deal breaker. I still think that he, if everything else is right, like I said, He wants to be on a team that can win a World Series next year. That could be the Mets. He wants to be on a team that can pay him top dollar. That's the Mets. He wants to be on a team with other stars because he wants to market himself. He wants to be in a market where you can be marketed, and he wants to be on a team where there are other stars for his YouTube channel. That's the Mets. And then the only box that he didn't check was spring training in Arizona. So, like, I don't like the
I wish I remember
Arizona
this fucking
factor.
Episode. I'm going to find this clip.
Go ahead.
You
That's what
absolutely
I said.
Rained on my parade. No, it was never even. No. It was never even you going through your list. It was like, I've had conversations with him. He knows where he's going.
I would
and
never
it's not
say
about
that.
The money. It's not about like it was very much a he's like an agent of chaos. He can't be bought. He doesn't want. I think it was like he didn't want to be
well,
in New York.
Well, that's
really.
Probably. Yeah. OK. So now, yes, when you were saying we have Steve Cohen and he'll pay him the most money. And I was like, that's not the only factor that he's weighing. So maybe that's what it was. I definitely never said like he has a team picked out because he never has. He's never indicated that to me. And I genuinely believe that he does not currently know where he wants to sign. I think he's weighing all of his options and seeing everything play
Trev,
out. Like the
baby.
Fact that the
Trev,
fact that he waited and now the Mets have Francisco Lindor and he tweets out interesting with the eyeball emojis. Like that's part of his process. Like he
Yo.
Wants to go to a team where there are stars that are going to pay him that has a chance to win a World Series. That is kind of now the Mets.
God, the master
well, I mean,
plan
the Mets,
all comes
the
together.
Mets are one of the teams that
about,
description fits.
Here's the rest of my wish list. Okay.
Okay.
Just piss off with this fucking Toronto Blue Jays nonsense where they think they're going to be in the mix for George Springer. You don't even have a fucking home. You're never going to outbid Steve Cohen. Let's just get over this little formality and sign George Springer because we know that's where this is going. Let's continue. And then once that happens, like, Trevor, hey, your YouTube channel is going to be popping because guess what? We just got two of the biggest fucking stars in the game. And also, you know who else you're going to interview once you sign here? Let's just go ahead and trade for Nolan Arenado too. Let's just get the whole left side of the infield set. Why not? Because in this trade for Lindor, they didn't even touch guys like Dom Smith or J.D. Davis or Brandon Nimmo or some of these other names that are pretty highly coveted and not yet exactly necessary for the New York Mets the way they're constructed. Let's just go get Arenado, Springer, and Bauer to round out the offseason. What do you fucking say, Justin, in New York? What do you say, Justin?
Justin, New York.
I am so fucking pumped right now.
Yeah, baby!
Lindor trade. I am just so fucking, I'm so fucking happy. And you get Springer, you get Bauer. You get Bauer after getting Carrasco, and you're fucking running DeGrom.
You got the best
Bauer,
fucking rotation
Carrasco,
in the game.
Roman.
You got Noah coming
Absolutely.
Back. You get Carrasco at the back end. You get Bauer and DeGrom as your 1-2. Watch the fuck out.
That
you know what
the,
I'm worried about, Justin? Let me tell you what I'm worried about.
Here's
if I can rain on the parade a little bit or maybe offer up the you know what the big negative here of what Steve Cohen's about to do, starting with Francisco Lindor and everyone else is going to sign. I'm worried about the expectations because if we don't win the goddamn World Series next year, we're going to be a failure. That's how fucking quick and efficient Steve Cohen's going to operate. If he makes a couple more moves, this team is like going to have to be one of the favorites to be like an absolute fucking rocket ship. I actually don't even like that. Like I got worried. I didn't like in the mid 2000s when they got too good too fast. I'd rather them like continue to build and just be like, now's our time. But if they, I mean, there's a lot of options still on the table that if they even, you know, if they flirt with a couple of them, even one of them, that's a lineup and a rotation. Now you got to go fix the bullpen, but that is, you know, you cannot look the other. I mean, they are going to be the real fucking deal. Nate and Little Rock, what do you got on Lindor?
Hey, I'm a diehard Cleveland sports fan. It is a sad day,
yikes.
But you know what? Like, the writing's been on the wall forever. And any Cleveland sports fan who, like, truly believed that, like, we were actually going to resign them, you're just fucking kidding yourselves. And everyone's mad at the Dolans for not resigning them. It didn't matter who it was never going to happen. It sounds, I don't really know who we got. It sounds like we got bent over and butt fucked. But Kevin, I'm really happy for you. I'm genuinely happy for you. And what I'm even more happy about is I'm going to take a deep breath and say it. He's not going to the goddamn Yankees.
Yankees,
that what makes me
that
feel
feels good.
Fucking happy.
Yeah.
So, Kevin, I'm happy for you, my friend. Like,
I appreciate
root
that.
For Lindor. I can root for Lindor with an open heart, and I hope they win the World Series. But this day was happening. anyone who says it wasn't happening are just fucking kidding themselves. Cleveland sports fans, listen to me right now. It was never going to fucking happen. That's all I got.
No, yeah, thank you, man. I appreciate it. I mean, they flat out said it's happening. So there, anybody who was like, well, maybe they might keep him, it's like, no, they fucking told you they weren't going to. It's the Dolans, man. The Dolans are, they should be thrown in jail. James Dolan with the Knicks, Larry Dolan with the Indians. That family is a fucking, they are like sports owner terrorists. They hold you hostage. And it's like, why do you even own these teams if you're going to do it like this? Yeah. Dolan's not, James Dolan's not cheap. He's just a dumb fucking asshole who meddles in it to the point that it's ruined. Larry's, I mean, I do feel for you when it's like you are a small market, but you're not that small of a market. It's not like you're fucking, you know, Cleveland is a sports town at the end of the day, so I don't know why they have to operate the way they do. So fuck the Dolans. They should be thrown in jail. And as far as, I mean, I my heart goes out because it's like, I know what that feels like when your ownership just won't open the wallets and do the right thing. And I would hope that you take solace in the fact that he's going to a place where it's like, at least we will appreciate it because we were just you. We were in the same boat with you, you know, a few months ago before our savior came. Maybe one day you'll get your savior as well and just take solace in the fact that he's not going to your traditional big market teams. In a few years, I hope that we are one of those obnoxious big market teams that people are like, oh, I hope he doesn't go to the Mets because the Mets get everybody. That's my dream, is to become a fucking asshole like that. But at the moment, we're still, you know, we're like, I said on We Gotta Believe, we're like, you know, the lame kid who got invited to the cool kid's table. We're going to the party. We got invited to the party with the hot chicks and the
booze.
You
guys are finally getting laid.
And, yeah, and you can just be happy that we're going to get laid. And maybe one day you'll fuck too. Probably not. You'll probably just be virgins for the rest of your life as Indians fans. But at least we get to fucking lay some pipe with Francisco Lindor. Nick in Dallas. Oh, no. Nick in Dallas. What's up?
I am so fired up about the Mets now. The best part about this, though, is going to be the Yankee fans just shitting their pants. And, I don't know. They're going to be so pissed, though. It's going to be awesome to watch.
I know
can
that
I, can
sometimes.
Can I ask you both? Is Nick still on the line?
Sorry, I just hung up on him, but I'll answer for you.
So you're perfect for this question anyway. Do you think that Yankee fans like are actually shitting their pants? Like, you're not in the same division. Yes, you're in the same city, but like the Mets are never going to be more popular than the Yankees. And I think it doesn't matter in terms of popularity, I guess. But like, do you think Yankee fans will really care that much if the Mets win one?
Yeah. So two things. While it's like, I know what you mean. It's like inevitable. The Yankees will always be more popular on the grand scale. Like in the 80s, when the Mets were doing their thing, it was like a Mets town. Now it's never going to be like wholesale orange and blue. But if Steve Cohen has like his own Steinbrenner-esque run of decades of this shit, it will get interesting. It will be interesting. It'll never be like a Mets town in that regard, but we will be able to go toe-to-toe with them, and the fan base will be loud, proud, and like we're just like better baseball fans. Now, we'll be that way if we have like a dynasty of our own. We'll probably become sellout, fair weather fucking bandwagon fans just like the Yankees have, because every winning team has that. But
I think there are some that will flip. If there's two
say
for the next two decades, right? We're talking 2040. The Mets win six championships over that run. The Yankees win zero, and they miss the playoffs and call it 43% of those seasons. What percentage of Yankee fans do you think will flip to being like, dude, I was a Mets fan my whole life. What are you talking about?
There's some diehards, of course, but there's the people in the middle who just don't really care about baseball as much, and the girls who don't care as much, and the kids who are kind of like if you're
they
born.
They haven't decided yet.
Yeah, or, you know, even, you know, like the Hubses and the Tommies of the world are set, but they haven't experienced like the Yankee way yet, you know?
No.
So the younger kids, like the generation even before them, who like haven't even, the ones who don't even remember 09, like there's no reason for them, as long as you're not like a diehard baseball fan where it runs through your family and you have your own reasons to pick this team. If you're kind of just like, well, I'm a Yankee fan because my family is, but you know what? they don't ever win, and they've never really done anything for me, and, like, over here's the fun party. There will be that. It's kind of like politics, you know? Like, there's the extremes, but then you got to win the middle. And I think the Mets can certainly flip a couple middle guys, not only because of winning, but I think Steve Cohen's going to turn, you know, the whole area is going to be fun. It's going to be like going to Wrigleyville if you're a Cubs fan. It's going to be like a baseball experience where
from an outsider's perspective, it, like, if I'm going to your college campus right now, the Yankees party, it's all the dudes with like the sweaters tied around their neck,
yes,
going around their back,
yes,
and then
yes,
there's a crazy frat party going on.
Project X. Project, yeah, X is over here.
That's,
we're driving cars into pools, chicks are making
out. I'm going
out
to that party.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly. And this is just, again, the beginning where,
and there's no girls at the Yankees party either.
None.
Like, those dudes are just fucking losers. Like, they talk about how great they are, but they're not actually like, there's no girls there. Like,
it's
no one actually,
like,
thinks that they're cool.
It's almost like they're the frat brothers from, like, years gone by who are coming back, and they're like, man, you should have been here when I was in school. Like,
yeah,
we used to have all the bitches. We used to party like the craziest. It's like, yeah, okay, old man, but you don't right now. And across town over here is where the real kids are fucking going off. I don't think they're shitting their pants. What's happening? I'll tell you exactly what's happening right now. You know what?
They're getting insecure.
After the break, I will explain exactly what's happening inside the mind of a New York Yankees fan right now. It's Lindor Day. Let's go!
Everybody's coming down to meet the Mets.
For the trouble, juice for the show, freeze for the bass, and the long mic flow. I know
you're thinking that this game is over.
Oh no,
the wait is over.
New York is back.
New York, Mets are back, baby. The Mets are back. All because of Steve Cohen and Francisco Lindor. The Mets are the fun team across town. Like you said, I just got a text from Kate, who's out in Queens, and she was like, I'm not even going to tweet this because it seems like a fake story. It feels like a Ruth Conda type of thing. But she said she's in Queens for an appointment. She walks into the bodega, and a nurse and the bodega guy and some big burly dudes start breaking into a celebration, yelling and jumping. They're all shouting into one guy's phone, doing a selfie video, hugging each other. She was like, what the fuck is going on? She hops on Twitter and she sees this news about the Mets. So Queens is already buzzing. Mets fans are already happy. And Yankee fans like Avery are sitting there going, they're lying to themselves right now, being like, all right, big fucking deal. Like, they got one player. Like you said, Jared, like, they're not shitting their pants. They're not in the same division. It's not like they were like in game 7 of the World Series last year, and this puts them over the top. They have a lot of work to do. There's still a ton of space between now and even making the playoffs, let alone getting through a team like the Dodgers and all that kind of shit. It's a long way to go. Mm-hmm. But like I said, the like being the king of New York is winning the titles is, of course, the most important. But it was also the vibe of, you know, they said 27 rings, but they also said, like, can't wait to see XYZ and pinstripes. Those are the two, like, mantras of Yankee fans. And that's where a lot of their confidence comes from, in the sense of, like, they're never worried because they're always just going to be like, well, if we need a pitcher, we're going to get a pitcher. And if we lost because our bullpen was bad, we're going to go fix our bullpen. And we'll always get the big bat, and we'll always be right back at it. And so winning the offseason is like its own little like crown here in New York. And it's always just been like no brainer. It's going to be the Yankees. And so right now, they're not like, oh my God, the Mets are better than us. Oh man, the Mets are, you know, going to, you know, win the World Series this year. But right now they're going like, oh, fuck, shit. Like Hal and Hank really were not like, you know, their father. And we're stuck with this Stanton contract. And, you know, we're kind of like set as we're constructed, but we can't seem to get over the hump. And, you know, our pitching staff stinks and we have a lot of question marks. And, you know, meanwhile, not
no starters.
None. I mean, it's just like Gerrit Cole, see you fucking later. That's it. You got one guy. And
Gerrit Cole sucks, by the way.
And not only are the Mets, you know, not only did Steve Cohen come and just bring this air of money and confidence and swagger, now they go make a move that not only is a big splash, but a fucking steal, B, fills a very important need, C is like two birds with one stone by bolstering the rotation a little bit. And it's like, oh, wow, not only was this big, but it was savvy, it was efficient, it was smart, and they're still in on Springer. You got Bauer now, like, interested in the mix. You've still got a plethora of chips if you do want to make some more moves. You've already got a good young fucking team in place. You got guys who have arrogance and swagger like Alonso. You've got guys who are quiet like assassins like McNeil. You got Conforto, who's one of the most underrated guys in the game. You got DeGrom, who is the most, like, consummate professional and most humble fucking greatest of all time to ever exist. It's, you know, it's they're either openly, like they were out in the bullpen being like, fuck, or they're sitting at home quietly being like, shit, I wish this wasn't the case.
Who was saying fuck?
Marty was like, stop, fucking, like he couldn't like speak. He couldn't say words. Tommy just kept saying, I can't believe you guys are talking about baseball on a day like this. The American democracy is in shambles and blah, 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 blah. He was deflecting like that. But as soon as the tweet said, you know, the Mets are close to a deal, Marty quote tweeted it with, what the fuck? Tommy quote tweeted it saying, do something, Yankees. So they can talk all they want about being like, we don't care about the Mets. But as soon as the Mets were even mentioned as being close to doing something with a premier player, they both, you know, the Yankee representatives of Barstool were like firing like, well, what's going on here? We need to do something too. So can you imagine if just a rumor about Lindor, which immediately became real, substantiated, and completed. But if it's Lindor today, and let's say it's Springer tomorrow or Bauer the next day, and then they get cooking, and then they start playing well, and then they're a contender, and God forbid they win one, if one Lindor tweet was enough to get them being like, what the fuck is going on? Mm-hmm. Then what's going to happen if the Mets actually make real waves? Yikes.
Yeah.
Yikes. Yeah. How you feeling, Avery? What do you think?
No, I blame Hal Steinbrenner.
Yep.
He's a piece of shit.
Yep. I mean,
his father's rolling in his grave.
Yep.
Like that. There's only one person to blame.
I think it's interesting because I think the fact that the Steinbrenner name just continued on, you had this false sense of security of like we're just gonna keep doing the things that we do. Like had they needed to sell because of that or something, or a new family came in, you would maybe be like, all right, like let's hope that this guy continues what George started. But you had to think that the Steinbrenner way was gonna continue because you still had Steinbrenners. But they are just different dudes from their father.
I growing up a Yankees fan, I know everything changed the minute they built the new stadium. Everything changed culture wise in New York.
Yeah,
Yankees.
It does.
Absolutely.
You kind of can pinpoint it with it. Like it just flipped over to money and like an entertainment product, and we're not gonna just be reckless and irrational. And I also understand why that had to happen. Like, I think baseball changed as well, where it's like revenue sharing came into effect and a lot of rules kind of changed where it wasn't just like, go buy everyone and it's going to work. So I get it. But also, they could have maybe stood to keep a little bit of George's flavor in the mix.
I mean, if George was alive, he's signing the check for DJ LeMahieu. He signed it 2 months ago.
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. Things like that where it's just like you're nickel and diming on guys that you don't really need to. Like, LeMahieu's a pretty fucking good guy, like a lock. You don't have to worry about it. Just do it and be done with it. And they're cheap. They're kind of cheap. It's kind of crazy.
I knew the Yankees were fucked the second. And this ultimately did not come back to bite them in the ass, but it did kind of plant the seed for what was to come. The way that they handled Dylan Betances' arbitration when he was going through arbitration. And it's like one of the worst things that you can do is go through the arbitration process with one of your best players. And at the time, Dylan Betances wasn't just one of their best relievers. He was one of the best relievers in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have to, like, for those who don't understand the arbitration process, if a player after 3 years of service time is arbitration eligible, the player will submit a figure that they think that they're worth. The team will submit a figure that they think the player is worth. And if they can't agree, usually teams will just meet in the middle because they're not that far apart, and then they'll sign for what's in the middle. If they don't do that, then they have to go to a panel of arbiters where the team has to just say a bunch of horrible shit about the player that now has to work for you for the next 3 years, maybe
not
four.
Good.
Sometimes
yeah.
players have 4 years of arbitration. So when Dylan Betances had to go through arbitration, Hal Steinbrenner was like, well, he's not a closer.
Right.
And it's like,
right.
Dude, like, I understand, you like, can't. You know, the ninth inning, it's very important. Yes. But like this dude, like Dylan Betances was like,
Lights out at that point. Nine.
Incredible. Yeah. ERA, incredible. His whip was incredible. Like, this dude was literally one of the best relievers in baseball at the time.
And you're doing all this to save what? You know, how much are you going to save by...
Literally, you're talking about maybe $300,000. Maybe. Maybe. Yeah, like a player might, it would be like the player submits at 5 and the team submits at 6, and then it's like, all right, we'll give you 5.5. Like, at most, they're talking about like $250,000 to $400,000 that they were arguing over to insult your best reliever, who now, I mean, like, obviously he didn't end up being, like, he didn't maintain being one of the best relievers, but like, if he did, and when he becomes a free agent, he's going to say, fuck you guys. Like, I'm out of here.
And that's just, like, and you can say, like, hey, that's the businessman, and that's why you have agents, and that's why you have middlemen and shit. But that's human nature, man, to just be like, those guys fucking stood up and argued against me to save a little bit of cash. And that's a Wilpon type move. I remember the Wilpons were so notoriously, like, tight-lipped, but there was that one, like, they did, like, an ESPN interview. Fred Wilpon did it and was like, David Wright's a nice kid. He's not a superstar. And, like, he just bashed like everybody on the team to kind of cover. I think it was when the Madoff thing happened and he needed to like speak out and was kind of just like covering his own ass on why they haven't won. And he was, you know, talking shit about his own players. And it's like, well, there's a surefire way to not have like your, you know, the team have your back. I mean, that's, and yeah, things like that. When the stadium changes and the vibe changes and the money changes and the you know, George changes, guess what? Things are going to change.
Hal isn't just penny pinching the Yankees. He's penny pinching the whole fucking community.
Yeah,
$50,000.
Right.
I mean, now he's just not fucking paying his players.
Could you imagine a George Steinbrenner? Imagine if George Steinbrenner was around to interact with Barstool. Shit. Imagine that. Yeah. I mean, that would be old. So here's Matt in New York who's going to tell me why the Yankees aren't afraid. What do you got, you goombots?
Hey, what's up, guys? I think it's for you to say that you know what's going on in Yankee fans' minds.
I do.
I don't think you have any idea.
I do.
Well, I mean, I'm probably about your age, Kevin. I'm 34, so I've seen 96 and above, so I've had a great life as a Yankee fan. Mm-hmm. But what hurt the most were the losses when we had expectations, you know, post-2001 have been brutal. Once you have the highest payroll, once you get all the free agents, if you don't come through, those losses hurt a lot more than I don't think you even know at that point.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously have not had many expectations ever. That has nothing to do with your initial point. Those are two different points.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, you're putting yourself in the mind of a Yankee fan. I think the Yankee fans aren't scared because we're looking at you excited, and we're looking in a mirror like, oh, they're gonna hit, it's gonna hit hard.
Oh! Here's the thing, Matt. You are absolutely not looking in the mirror. You are looking in the furthest thing from a mirror. You are looking at a team with an owner who's hungry, cocky, motivated, and who will do nothing. Pipe down. You are looking at a team who's young, hungry, motivated, has an owner who will stop at nothing, who has an owner who doesn't give a fuck about money, who has an owner who's worried about his legacy and being a winner and a fan of this city and this team, who wants to leave his mark in history, versus you, a franchise that is being run for the bottom line, that is being run based on the past instead of the future, that is being run as a corporation and not even a sports team, that is probably like the furthest thing I can think of from Steve Cohen and the Mets right now.
All right. I mean, listen, I guess you believe in them already, and it seems like most of you are drinking the Kool-Aid, and it's just, you know, you got to win on the field, though.
Sure, and that's still yet to happen, but as far as what I was describing before of, like, the offseason being its own competition, where you can win the offseason as well, and that's always been a Yankee thing, and that's always what leads you to have confidence, where it's like, all right, even if we lost this year, we know we're going to reload, retool, like, bring in more reinforcements and be better next year. Yeah, you know, the Yankees don't get worse. They just always get better. And there's only a finite number of free agents and resources and trade prospects and whatnot. And if you have another New York franchise that is on the same level as you as far as money and talent and hunger and all that kind of shit, or in this case, I believe more so than in every category, you're going to start missing out on some guys. You're not going to be able to just, like, fix every problem the exact way you always want to. And it's going to be a different story. And, I mean, again, I wouldn't be, like, freaking out if I was a Yankee fan. I would be thinking, like, fuck, shit, damn it. I wish this wasn't the case. I wish it wasn't this way. But Kieran in Massachusetts is here to tell me why I shouldn't be happy. Good, Kieran.
Oh,
dick.
Kevin Francis Clancy, I will tell you exactly why. You can be happy, but you have a debt to pay.
I got to come and jump off a bridge?
Yep.
I know. I got to just find this fucking bridge. I got to find... Thank you for reminding the world, Kieran. I got to find this fucking bridge.
Yeah. You got to... I mean...
You know what I need to do is I want to jump off the Shea Bridge at Citi Field. There's this fucking bridge in the stadium that they have dubbed the Shea Bridge.
I don't think you're going to come there, though.
Well, that's the thing. And I also
you probably
need,
have
like,
to register.
I also can't, like, jump. I need, like, a fucking...
Oh, yikes.
Like a ball pit to jump, you know, like a safe thing to jump into. I'm certainly not jumping onto the fucking goddamn concrete. I'm going to have, like, a Tom Segura moment and, like, ruin my body. I will not be going to the hospital. What?
SNY just reported George Springer wants $175 million.
Give it to him. Whatever. He knows that fucking Steve Cohen's in the mix. I would ask for $275 if I was George Springer. Money ain't a thing.
What cares? How many years does he want? Like what's the AAV look like? 175 over what? 7?
Listen, if it's the difference between 150 and 175, when we look back on it, $25 million is ashtray money.
All right, yeah, he wants. You know? I mean, but what is 175 over 6? Because I feel like, yeah, he wants
it's
like 29 mil a year.
Yeah,
29 and change.
And what? And 150 was going to be over the same amount of years was like the original talk, like 6-7.
Yeah, he wanted 150 over 6, which is 25.
So you know, yeah. Listen, he's definitely not worth that. Is that crazy? Are you going to overpay? Sure. Maybe you get him down to 165.
I mean, what if it's 175 over 5, and then he just wants 35 mil a year?
Is he worth that? No. Should they
no.
do that? No. If it's like
it's not Jason Bay, but there are some Jason Bay vibes.
Yeah, I agree. And you know what? I have full faith that if they don't pull the trigger on it, the way that they didn't want to go to that level with Real Muto, that they won't do it. And I'd be okay with that.
I mean, I would rather, like, if there's one player that's like, hey, I have this number, meet it, or go fuck yourself, I'm not doing that with Springer. I would do it with Real Muto. But you've already signed McCann.
Yeah, that's yes. I do not think Steve Cohen will allow George Springer to push him around the ring. At a negotiating table, in a business negotiation, Steve Cohen is the real fucking deal, whether he's talking stocks and bonds and commodities and all that shit, or if he's talking about humans and players right now. If it's like 175, we get him down to 167 and a half, and he says, like, it's take it or leave it, and the Blue Jays want to fucking swoop in and give him the full 175, they're not going to do anything stupid. That's what I love most about it. It's like, it feels like the George Steinbrenner, like, fandom, where he's like, I just want to win, I just want to be a winner and like be cocky and win it all, mixed with this business savvy, where he like, and he keeps, it feels like he keeps that shit in check and in balance. So
yeah.
I have full faith that if they go for it, it's to a point where Cohen's like, yeah, that extra money doesn't bother me. And if it does, that he'll fucking say no and walk. You want 175? Yeah. How about 165? How about 175 and a half? How about we do some player option shit? How about we defer some of this and that? But if, you know, at the end of the day, if it's like, well, we could have had Springer for 25, but we don't want to give him 28 a year. It's like, well,
yeah.
Fucking cares, you know?
Yeah. You know what? You know what's like pretty, it sounds crazy, but might actually be a realistic scenario.
Crazy like a fox. Hit me. What do we got?
If, hypothetically, Trevor Bauer decides to sign with the Mets, you might be out, Kevin. I might just get an apartment with Bauer.
Hey, listen, if you get an apartment with Bauer, you're also getting an apartment with me. The three of us are living together.
Okay, that's fine.
We'll get a penthouse suite. Yeah, we'll get like a penthouse somewhere in Murray Hill. We'll be Murray Hill bros with Trevor Bauer.
Yeah, I mean, like he would love Murray Hill. He would love
He would clean up. He would clean up. We'll go to Brother Jimmy's.
I'd show him
together,
all the spots in Murray Hill. Be like, hey, you want to go to a nice little fucking date spot? I got you. You want to go to a nice little college bar? I got you.
I've got Joe on the line. I believe this is fake Joe. I think I remember.
Joe.
Yeah, you like know Steve Cohen or some shit like that.
Yeah.
You don't want to say your real name? Okay. Okay.
No, you know my real name because you know it's on Instagram or whatever.
I told you, two announcements in January. It's this one and
wait,
then the
wait,
one
wait,
that
wait,
just,
wait,
like,
wait. Are you the one that just fucking didn't come through though, or are you a different guy? There's another guy who DM'd you said like there was one guy who Spring. You were telling me Springer was like done.
It is.
Wow. Okay. 100%. So like that better. What do you mean? 100. It's not 100% done. It hasn't been announced.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. 100%. They didn't announce
they
it over
for?
Before the break.
Yeah. So he's no longer. He is
when it was Christmas.
He's no longer a free agent. He is signed by the Mets.
And nobody
in baseball knows.
No, they do. It just came. So, you just saw the SNY tweet.
That he wants 175.
That he
so
wants
175. 175.
Look at everything that they've done so far. Look at all the shit that Steve Cohen has done, and when he's toyed around with people and he's played around with the fans. If you
but
don't
no,
think all right, that he's
I,
not
I,
a play,
I agree that they're like a front runner for it and still in it, but you're saying that
no,
this
it's
is
done
and
fine.
Just not announced,
yes.
And that nobody in baseball knows, nobody has leaked it, no reporters know.
Nobody has
George,
leaked it.
George
yes,
Springer hasn't
know.
Said anything, when SNY says he's looking for 175, that means someone in George Springer's camp is telling people this, even though he's already signed a deal.
Yes,
I mean that makes no sense.
I know it doesn't
sense.
Make any sense, but I'm telling you, it's the honest. You'll see. It'll come out. I told you January. I told you two announcements. This was the first one. I knew it, but we were, you know, asked not to say anything because it could have spooked the Indians.
Yeah, I mean that none of this makes any sense.
We will talk when it happens.
But that's the thing is like there's still a very good chance that George Springer signs with the Mets, but then for you to be like I called it, it's like I think he just probably signed halfway through the month and it wasn't done 3 weeks ago.
Yes, it was. It was done before Christmas, but they because of the holiday and everything and people traveling, they
and
weren't
now,
able
and,
to get
and,
all that stuff done.
And so everybody is just pretending like he's still a free agent, including George Springer and the Mets.
But nobody's pretending. What other rumors have you heard other than the Blue Jays,
that,
which has
that
been around forever?
That he's still looking for a contract and talking about numbers and telling
what's another
like,
team? What's another team?
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about money. George Springer and his camp are saying he's telling somebody at
no,
SNY. I mean, yeah. What is making this up?
No, SNY is telling the truth. That's the number. It's 7 years, 175.
And that he's looking for that, but it's already happened.
They're saying it. Look at all of Steve Cohen's tweets. Look at everything that he's done.
No. Answer my question. Answer my question.
Around and he's
answer,
playing games.
Answer my question.
What's the question?
That George Springer is telling someone at SNY, here's what I'm looking for, even though he already has a done deal.
No, I don't think Springer told SNY. I think SNY is creating that tweet to have a little game with the fans.
So you think SNY is faking it?
No, it's the correct number. They're putting it in words to not say it's correct until it's announced.
Okay, so it's a organized effort by the Mets, the front office, and the station to pretend that he's no longer a free agent, but float the numbers that are already signed.
What are the biggest problems with the Wilpons? What do you think? Like, besides, like, you know, spending money and stuff, like, you know, what they were tone deaf, right?
Yeah, they're right.
And they didn't interact with the fans. There was no, you know, positives or negatives. There was no fun had. What do you take this when Steve Cohen, you know, takes these things and says stupid shit and says like, oh, well, we, you know, that's news to me, but I'm usually the last to know and things like that. Do you think that that's not gamesmanship? And do you think he doesn't have a part in the SNY stuff?
I think that's very different. I mean, he doesn't, right? He doesn't own SNY. He wants to own it. I don't think he has control of that. I don't think
he's control of the Mets.
I think like being coy on Twitter is very different than like we've signed a player and we all have organized a secret like we're all going to pretend
it's
for
not
the next
organized,
few weeks.
Like it's not an organized secret where they're having meetings about it. It's just like, you know, we're not announcing it yet. Feel free to, you know, toy around with it. Feel free to play around with it. It's 175 and 70.
175 over 7, according to Fake Joe, who
I believe
says
him,
he's
yo.
In the know.
I hope he's right.
I hope he's right. I hope it's been the strangest, most unprecedented, let's pretend that we haven't signed a player for really no good reason.
I've now joined into the Get Bauer to Queens campaign. Like, I'm going to try and talk him into it.
Please do. Yeah, Trev, come on, man. Listen, you want your YouTube to pop off? Come here and we'll do Barstool every fucking day.
Every day.
You know what? You can have a contract here as well as Steve Cohen. Let's fucking do this. Maybe Steve Cohen can circumvent the fucking salary cap by just paying him hundreds of millions of dollars through Barstool. He'll just be a Barstool employee who happens to pitch. It's Lindor. The Lindor era has begun. Everybody, stay high.